here on Progressive Radio Network, Gary Knowles Network. This is the Natural Nurse and Dr. Z, and this is Ellen Kamai, the Natural Nurse. You can always find us at naturalnurse.com or Facebook, the Natural Nurse. And we go all over the place meeting with you in person. So if you'd like to find out where to meet up with us, just check the schedule at naturalnurse.com. We will be in Manhattan on April 28th, taking participants into Chinatown. And I mean the inside workings of Chinatown. We spend the whole day there. We do tongue and pulse diagnosis. And we also visit factories where they make herbal medicine. And it is an FDA-registered facility. You can watch the entire process of how herbal products are made from raw plants. And we have Qigong in the park, a sacred Chinese tea ceremony, and basically a way to really visit another country right while you're in New York. So today, we're very happy to have as our guest Dr. Rita Aram, who is a medical doctor, and he is an endocrinologist and director of the Texas Thyroid Institute in Houston, Texas. Dr. Aram trained in Paris at the Cochin Hospital and College de France with Professor Raymond Michel, a researcher involved in the discovery of T3, the active form of thyroid hormone. He also studied at South Baltimore General Hospital and Johns Hopkins Hospital and completed his fellowship in endocrinology at Baylor College of Medicine, where he is a clinical professor of medicine. He is a fellow of the American College of Physicians, fellow of the American College of Endocrinology, and a long-standing member of the American Thyroid Association. He's board certified in internal medicine as well as endocrinology and metabolism, and he served as chief of endocrinology and metabolism at the Ben Taub General Hospital in Houston for many years. He is also the author of a new book, which we will be talking about, called The Thyroid Solution. Thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Aram.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Now, obviously you have years and years of conventional medical training, and then you're talking about something like the thyroid solution diet. But I certainly noticed that in mainstream medicine, diet is rarely addressed.
Well, there are many, many mainstream diets out there. Usually picking one or two facets of healthy nutrition to achieve weight loss and for overall health. The diet that I have designed is a perfected diet that addresses hormonal issues that occur when a person becomes overweight. And I think it's an acceptable diet for both alternative and conventional medicine.
Okay, so you use the word separately, which is conventional medicine and alternative medicine. And I enjoy that because the thing is, I like to use the word traditional medicine, but when I use the word traditional medicine, what I am talking about is ancient healing techniques that have been used throughout history, both in indigenous cultures and ancient civilizations, for thousands of years, which are effective and have been proven to be safe just through the many years of use. And then I like the term conventional or mainstream or modern medicine to talk about what's often practiced in regular hospital-based medicine today. So you did break that up. The word alternative is interesting to me because I actually like to use traditional medicine first, not as the alternative, but first, and then use conventional mainstream medicine as a backup if the traditional medicine doesn't work. So that's just the way that I look at the use of those words. Now, in your new book, The Thyroid Solution Diet, what brought you into wanting to write a book? Because that's a big project besides all the other things that you're doing.
Well, my first book is The Thyroid Solution. The first edition was in 1999, and that was the first book really that provided the public and many doctors out there with a comprehensive mind-body program to deal with thyroid disorders, thyroid imbalances, provides a comprehensive overview on the daily challenges that thyroid patients face on a daily basis, physical and emotional, and provides also ways, innovative ways of dealing with thyroid imbalances as far as treatments and also addressing stress and other important issues that can affect the immune system and the thyroid gland. The current book, the new book, The Thyroid Solution Diet, is I shouldn't say an extension of the thyroid solution, but it's a diet program for successful weight loss. In 1999, I already talked about a successful diet that combines many properties. I advocated the Mediterranean diet with a higher protein content, high fiber, a diet that is low in saturated fat and is low glycemic. But really the design of the eating plan, I had to spend a lot of time working on that to make it solid, and that's why it took me a few years to put it together. And also the science on weight and body fat composition has evolved tremendously over the past decade. So I needed to wait and accumulate as much science as possible to write this innovative program. So the Thyroid Solution Diet is basically a perfected, well-structured eating plan along with other components in the program for successful weight loss. And it's designed for both thyroid patients and for people without thyroid imbalances, because at the end of the day, the master hormone that regulates metabolism and fat burn and body composition is thyroid hormone. So even if you have thyroid hormone levels that are perfect in your body, these hormones need to work efficiently, and that's what my program has been designed for, to optimize the efficiency of thyroid hormone in the body to make a person overall extremely healthy and also to succeed in weight loss. And as you know, weight issues and obesity have become a serious problem nowadays.
That's so true, Dr. Aram. You know, I really enjoy your presentation because you are deeply grounded in studying all that science knows, but then you're bringing in something like a body-mind component, which I think new science is starting to establish a strong link there as well. But not many doctors will just send people to a psychiatrist rather than seeing that it's part and parcel of whatever is going wrong with them.
Yes, absolutely. For instance, when we talk about thyroid imbalances, even minute, minimal, sometimes overlooked by doctors and by patients themselves, can lead to low-grade depressive symptoms, anxiety, and so forth, and it becomes an escalation of symptoms and effects that have multiple consequences on the body and the mind, and of course it's all interconnected. When it comes to the diet, obviously the mind is an important component, and my book addresses both metabolism, how metabolism becomes sluggish and how to overcome the sluggishness of metabolism, but also it addresses the mind component, the food cravings, overeating, the food choices, etc., and how to deal with those impulses, because they are merely consequences of the sluggish metabolism. It's like there is an internal power in the body that dominates the emotional brain to make you seek the wrong foods to perpetuate the weight gain and resistance to weight loss. So I agree with you. It's when we look at these things, and particularly with respect to hormones, which are the main chemicals in the body that that make communication from one organ to the next so efficient, and when it comes to weight regulation, the mind and the body work hand in hand to lead to these issues, and that's the only way to counteract them as well.
Now, Dr. Aram, how would somebody begin to realize that perhaps their excessive weight gain, or even not excessive, let's say, you know, they used to always keep a nice amount of weight, and then they suddenly notice that they're putting on more weight with no really decline in exercise and no change of diet? Might that be hormone-based, and how would somebody investigate that?
Well, it's obvious from what you just said. If your caloric intake is the same and you are exercising the same and you are gaining weight, this means that you are burning less fat on a daily basis. And we are equipped with a system in our body, and everything takes place basically in the mitochondria. Everybody knows now what mitochondria is. It's the powerhouse of metabolism. And we need to produce heat on a daily basis. That's our internal temperature. And to be able to do that, we need to spend energy, and that's how we burn. That's the mechanism of the fat burn, and that's basic metabolic rate or metabolism. So when a person gains weight, this implies that the mitochondria and the brown fat, which is a certain type of fat in our body that that makes you burn fat even while you are doing nothing. And there are some people who burn 1,200 calories a day, 1,400, it depends on how much muscle you have and how much body fat you have. So if the basic metabolic rate or metabolism slows down, even by 100 calories a day, over time that will lead to a gradual accumulation of the white fat, which is the storage form of fat in our body. One of the leading causes of sluggish metabolism is hypothyroidism or underactive thyroid, which is quite prevalent in the
general
population.
Why is it so prevalent, do you think? Doctor, why do you think that it's so prevalent? Have these thyroid irregularities always been so prevalent, or do you think it might be linked to hormone disruptors in the environment and other aspects of modern life?
Well, there are at least two or three reasons for these observations these days that we diagnose and treat more thyroid imbalances than 15, 20 years ago. Number one, the detection, the diagnosis of the condition, the awareness of the importance of diagnosing even low-grade hypothyroidism has definitely increased all over the world, and particularly in the United States. So we see more thyroid disease than before. But there is also indication that as a result of the environment and the negative effects of environmental toxins, for instance, that affect the health of cells, has had some impact on the increase of thyroid disease. There is the iodine effect. And there is also, I believe, the effect of stress and depression. In my first book, The Thyroid Solution, I discussed in length the connection between depression and thyroid, stress and thyroid, because the immune system is in the middle. Stress and depression impact the immune system, and the immune system in turn affects the thyroid. Most thyroid conditions are actually autoimmune conditions, meaning that the immune system begins to attack the thyroid gland and making it inflamed and dysfunctional and not doing the proper job producing thyroid hormone. So again, this is another highlight of the connection between the mind and the thyroid. So I see
now,
it as
a listener is experiencing some of these symptoms, and you've certainly given a long list of them, various weight gain issues, which of course is a big function of your new book, The Thyroid Solution Diet, to get a hold of that, but also feelings of depression, even if they're mild depression. What if they went and got their thyroid tested at their regular doctor and they did not show any kind of irregularities? Would that completely rule out a slightly underactive thyroid?
Unfortunately, not. The most effective way of testing the thyroid is a test called TSH, which is the stands for thyroid stimulating hormone. This is a hormone produced by the pituitary gland, and the pituitary gland is the master gland that regulates the thyroid. And when there is an imbalance in the thyroid, so it will show up as an abnormal TSH level. Unfortunately, the range for TSH, which defines what is normal and what is abnormal, is a somewhat wide range for the general population. So each person has his or her own TSH range. So a TSH, even if it is normal, it may not be normal for you. So there is a huge gray zone of normalcy that places many people out there as quote-unquote being normal, even though they may be suffering from low-grade hypothyroidism. The other thing is that this test that I was referring to, the TSH, does fluctuate sometimes from normal to abnormal, and the person may be caught at a time where the test is entirely normal. So the TSH testing is good, but may not be enough. And the diagnosis then relies on how astute the doctor, the thyroid doctor who is examining and listening to the patient, with respect to how skilled the physician is examining a thyroid gland, detecting subtle abnormalities that may indicate inflammation and Hashimoto's thyroiditis, which is the leading cause of hypothyroidism, and also using perhaps an ultrasound and inquiring about family history of thyroid disease. And there are a few clinical clues that would indicate that the person may or may not be suffering from a thyroid imbalance.
How do you feel about the home test, which people do where they use a basal thermometer for a month and actually keep track of that and see where their basal temperature is over a month?
You know, the basal temperature method was used a few decades ago when we did not have sophisticated diagnostic tools for thyroid disease. And because historically One of the symptoms or sign of low thyroid is low temperature. Then by extrapolation for people to be diagnosed with low thyroid, then the basal temperature was used. And from that historical phenomenon, many doctors have advocated even these days to use this technique. Unfortunately, low temperature is not specific for thyroid. That means you could be suffering from low temperature and yet your thyroid is perfectly normal. And what we are dealing these days with is the lack of recognition of low-grade hypothyroidism rather than severe hypothyroidism, which typically causes low temperature. So having said this, basal temperature becomes almost useless for detecting and monitoring thyroid imbalance. So, because low-grade hypothyroidism, which is the most common form of low thyroid, actually does not cause low temperature.
You know, I never knew that. That's why I love doing radio, which I've been doing for many years, because we actually did have people at the Corsello Center for Complementary Medicine. I was Dr. Corsello's head nurse for 23 years. We often had people do that initially just as a self-care measure to bring it to us to look at, and then if there was any kind of low-grade thyroid, Dr. Corsello would do additional hormone tests, even ones that might not be useful in terms of showing things clinically, but she would look for it. Sometimes the patients did not have the advantage of having insurance that would pay for some of the deeper tests. So we did use that just as a screening tool, but I never knew that low-grade hypothyroidism would not even show up or that it might relate to various other imbalances.
Yeah.
At least it's inexpensive and people can, you know, try that on their own. And
yeah,
we also found it very, very effective in terms of increasing fertility rates when people were aware of their monthly variation in temperature, especially when they wanted to get pregnant and they were having trouble getting pregnant. So that was interesting to learn from you. Thank you for sharing that. We're going to go for a little break right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And when we come back, we're going to continue our discussion with Dr. Arem. We will look at some very specific foods that he's talking about in his program, in his new book called The Thyroid Solution Diet. We will be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. On this edition of the Natural Medicine Chest, we'll take a look at the soybean, its phytochemistry, and its role as a food and medicine.
It is exciting to see a resurgence in research by universities and food scientists on the role that foods play in disease prevention. Many of these institutions, such as the United Soybean Board, the American Soybean Farmers Association, and the National Cancer Institute, are busy developing designer foods, or superfoods, concentrating the essential nutrients and phytochemicals in soybeans and other foods that have potent medicinal effects. Commonly known foods which have soy in them include soy milk, a cheese-like substance called tofu, tempeh, a fermented soy protein, and tamari, a fermented soy sauce. The soybean is a rich source of many nutrients, including selenium, zinc, beta-carotene, vitamins A, C, and E, and 20 of the 22 amino acids. Soy also contains essential fatty acids.
Research on soy foods is vast and well known to health enthusiasts, although the general public and physicians in the United States may not be aware of this plethora of research. In Japan and China, however, this is not the case, as a voluminous number of scientific studies have been carried out in animals and humans. Chinese studies reveal that soy products can increase the ability, rate of activity, and number of white blood cells. Patients receiving chemotherapy and radiation can benefit from drinking soy milk, which in several studies demonstrated a protective effect on the liver and gastrointestinal system.
It is interesting to note that the British journal Lancet revealed that vegetarians and Asians who ingest high amounts of soy have the lowest rates of cancer. This is due to one of soy's constituents called genistein. This chemical is a phytoestrogen or plant estrogen, which can decrease and block the uptake of human estrogen and testosterone, as well as enhance its excretion. Like the drug tamoxifen, it competes with estrogen for uptake in the reproductive tissues. By doing so, hormone-dependent cancers like ovarian, breast, and prostate cancers may be prevented.
In conditions where there is a deficiency of hormones, such as osteoporosis and menopause, soy isoflavones, such as genistein, can weakly mimic estrogen and reduce the severity of these problems.
So, listeners, don't count out the versatile soybean. Make it a delicious and nutritious part of your natural medicine chest.
Once again, to the Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. This is Ellen Kamai, the Natural Nurse, and you can always find us at naturalnurse.com or Facebook, The Natural Nurse. We get inundated with comments from listeners all over the country. That's what's so exciting about being on Progressive Radio Network, Gary Knowles Network, and you can visit us here anytime, 24/7. And if you missed today's show with Dr. Rita Arem, medical doctor, author of The Thyroid Solution Diet and the best-selling book called The Thyroid Solution, and you are enjoying listening to us today and you'd like to tell your friend to listen in to Dr. Arem's wisdom and find out more, well, you can tune in anytime because of the archives here on Progressive Radio Network. And I always get phone calls and letters, and not so much letters in the mail, I must admit, but emails from listeners all over the country who said they enjoyed a particular show and they listened to it in their car. I heard from a young lady in Illinois who said she always listens to it in her car. And I was just going, well, how can you do that? Because we're actually in the New York area in terms of the studio, and we're not broadcasting on the air. So she said, oh, no, I just download all of it into something, something that she has. I don't know what she has. She just downloads all of it, and then she plays it in her car. So that's actually how she does it, and that's amazing to me. That's beyond my capabilities, but perhaps you can do that, so feel free to do so. And we are discussing today The Thyroid Solution with Dr. Rita Arem, and if you want to find out more, you can go to his website, which is Arem, A-R-E-M, that's A-R-E-M, wellness.com, aremwellness.com. Welcome back to The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
Thank you.
And we're discussing your book, The Thyroid Solution Diet. Now, you discuss metabolism-boosting hormones and metabolism and fat-blasting hormones. What are some of the examples of these kinds of hormones?
The two most important hormones that boost metabolism are leptin and thyroid hormone. Leptin is a hormone produced by the fat tissue itself, and it has two main effects. It affects the hypothalamus and the brain with respect to appetite and food choices. And it affects metabolism by boosting metabolism, making the mitochondria burn more fat. So it's a metabolism boosting hormone. It slows down your your appetite, and it boosts your metabolism. So it's a good hormone for weight loss. And it's the hormone really that tells the mind, the brain, how much fat you have in your body, because the amount of fat that we carry has to be regulated. If there isn't a communication between the brain and the fat itself, then people may become humongous or may not have enough fat reserve for survival purposes. So we have been designed to carry a certain amount of fat for the future in case of starvation. And this is the main hormone that communicates between the fat tissue and the brain. So again, leptin speeds up metabolism, makes you burn fat, and also makes you less hungry. And the second boosting hormone is thyroid hormone. That's the master hormone. That's the touchstone of metabolism. That's the executive hormone that makes the mitochondria burn more fat and generate more heat. So it's a metabolism boosting hormone. Thyroid hormone also affects the appetite centers in the brain. These are the two master metabolism boosting hormones. There is another hormone called adiponectin. It's produced by the fat tissue as well, and it makes you burn more fat. There are, on the other hand, let me mention growth hormone as well. It's a metabolism boosting hormone. The growth hormone is produced by the pituitary and has a metabolism boosting hormone. It's an important hormone for maintaining inadequate body fat. If you lack growth hormone, you will end up having fat around the waist and metabolic syndrome. Actually, people with growth hormone deficiency, including adults, they gain weight as a result of growth hormone deficiency. Now, we have other hormones that work against metabolism. One of them is ghrelin. This is a hormone that is produced by the stomach and has the completely opposite effects of leptin. So when we get hungry in the morning after we wake up, a growth hormone goes up. The stomach produces more of this hormone to make you want to eat, and also it will slow your metabolism. So if you don't eat for a long period of time, ghrelin, this hormone produced by the stomach, will stay elevated and will slow your metabolism so you don't burn fat for survival purpose. You see how it's beautifully designed. And the other hormone that can make you fat is cortisol. Cortisol is the stress hormone. When we get stressed, when we don't sleep well with sleep interruptions, cortisol levels go up, and that will also affect your appetite, making you hungry, and also will cause shift of fat and deposits of fat around the waist. These are the main hormones. There are many other chemicals and hormones produced in the body, but these are the major ones that will define at the end of the day how much body fat you have. And my diet, the thyroid solution diet, has been meticulously designed to reverse these hormonal imbalances that take place when a person becomes overweight. When you become increasingly overweight, leptin will become inefficient, not doing its job, and one of the consequences is slowing of metabolism, and you will feel compelled to eat even though you don't need to because you have adequate fat content already. And also thyroid hormone, when you, as you become overweight, become inefficient doing its job at the level of the mitochondria, and your metabolism slows down, and thyroid hormone increasingly will become ineffective. So the thyroid solution diet, because it's a perfected diet that embraces many properties and looked at the amino acid effects on mitochondria and many other things that we can elaborate on, will reverse these hormonal imbalances at the efficiency and level impact to basically boost metabolism and also for you to overcome the eating impulses and to get on the right track of picking the right foods.
Well, now that we're talking about your diet in particular, let's go more deeply into it. What is unique about this diet that you designed and share in your book, The Thyroid Solution Diet?
Well, it has many unique properties. First of all, it's a perfected Mediterranean diet, low in saturated animal fats. It's higher in protein than conventional diets, so it's a high-protein Mediterranean diet with combination of specific proteins at each meal, to fulfill other properties as well. And it's low glycemic at each meal, and it's high fiber at each meal, providing a total of 35 grams of fiber per 24 hours. And the other property is that it's the lowest glycemic at dinner time to bring the insulin level, to keep it down for proper metabolism at night and fat burn. The other uniqueness about this diet is that you don't have to count calories. It's almost like a prescription, well-balanced diet. I have done all the work for the people who follow my diet because I have to respect the ratio of the different food sources at each meal to keep the ratio of protein, fiber, good carbs basically constant and perfect to maintain it low glycemic at all times and high fiber at all time with specific amounts of proteins and different proteins. Now, with respect
to the specifically, what would a day look like in terms of the diet that is recommended in the book? What would someone be eating, and what is in these specific proteins that help people boost their metabolism?
Excellent question. The concept of protein combination has to do with the supply to the body of a specific metabolism-enhancing amino acids, and I will come back to this point in a minute. Each meal includes at least two proteins. For instance, low-fat cheeses for breakfast combined with an animal protein, preferably turkey or other lean proteins. Beans are included for people who don't like low-fat cheeses that they can combine with another protein. You need to eat vegetables such as mushrooms or cucumber or others that will give you fiber. Good fruits. I have a selection of fruits that are the lowest in fructose and the lowest in simple sugars. Depending on your caloric intake, you may add good fats such as olive oil, tofu, avocado, etc. For lunch, the primary protein is beans or lentils or quinoa. Quinoa is not necessarily a grain, and it has an excellent amino acid profile. That will be combined with another protein such as turkey, for example, or chicken or fish. Dinner time, and also, of course, the good fats, and also vegetables. The vegetables, with respect to the amounts, really, I don't provide any restriction. And there are two kinds of vegetables, the ones that are richer in proteins versus the vegetables that will give you primarily fiber and other good nutrients. With respect to dinner, the primary protein now is fish or lean meats. I recommend fish at least 4 or 5 days a week in combination with vegetables that are richer in proteins, at least 3 sources, plus vegetables that will give you more fiber, and low-fat cheeses. So as you can see, and good fat, obviously. But no beans, no lentils, no fruits at dinner time, but you do have fruits at breakfast and lunch. And the reason for this is to have the best, the lowest glycemic index at dinner time, and you would use fruits as desserts for breakfast and lunch.
Now, this diet might be difficult for a strict vegan, I imagine, because you are talking about dairy sources and meat sources.
Not necessarily, because in the diet there is flexibility where you can use yes, for dinner it is a problem, because I believe that fish protein is important, is actually an essential part of my thinking. Fish is excellent for weight loss, because of the amino acid profile of fish.
We're just going to take one more break here to allow many of the other exciting shows that are here on Progressive Radio Network to give you an update of when you can catch them and when you can listen in. And when we come back, we're going to be continuing our discussion with Dr. Arem about the thyroid diet and his new book, which came out recently, called The Thyroid Solution Diet. We'll be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And welcome back once again to The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And today we are interviewing our guest, Dr. Rivka Arem. That's A-R-E-M. And you can find out more on Dr. Arem's website at aremwellness.com. That's aremwellness.com to find out more. And we
the author of several books, including The Thyroid Solution, but today we're talking about his newest book, The Thyroid Solution Diet. And Dr. Arem just went through what a daily meal plan would look like in terms of foods to include in something that will boost your metabolism and sort of just make the weight fall off if you have excess weight, and that's by his unique program of helping your body have what it needs for optimum thyroid and other hormones to work effectively. Now, Dr. Arem, there are certain foods that potentially impair thyroid function, so they should be avoided under your program. What are some of those foods?
Well, obviously, saturated saturated fat, animal fats. One has to be careful with foods that may lower thyroid function, and they are included in my diet as long as they are eaten in a reasonable amount and cooked. And some of these are cruciferous, such as all goitrogens. These are foods that can interfere with thyroid hormone manufacturing, thyroid hormone production, and can make a shaky thyroid gland underperform more. But if one eats them in reasonable amounts and in a cooked fashion, that shouldn't really be a problem in humans. Some of these are Brussels sprouts, cabbage, cauliflower, soy, spinach, strawberries, and turnips. But again, in humans, when people eat these foods in reasonable amounts, by reasonable amounts meaning not every day, in huge amounts, that shouldn't really be a problem. The selection of foods according to my diet is a very important, is an important component for successful weight loss. I wanted to add something very important in my diet program. Of course, it includes several things, including stress management, quality of sleep, looking at food sensitivities, paying attention to the environment and the toxins. I have a detox plan that goes along with the eating plan. So it's an entire program. But I pay attention to supplements as well. I highly recommend an adequate intake of antioxidants and vitamins and other micronutrients and ingredients, natural ingredients, that help the mitochondria to do the most optimal job at burning fat. As I mentioned earlier, mitochondria is the powerhouse of metabolism, and unfortunately, as a result of normal metabolism, we produce huge amounts of free radicals and oxidative stress that is not only damaging to membranes and to the genes, but also they alter, they impair the function of the mitochondria. So for successful weight loss, even though my diet and the structure of the foods is comprehensive and complete, unfortunately many people don't get to have the right amount of antioxidants and trace minerals that are essential for the health of the thyroid gland on one hand, but also for optimal efficiency of the mitochondria. And I, of course, recommend omega-3 fatty acids because they are essential for healthy metabolism and also for improving the health of the immune system and also for thyroid gland function as well.
Now, since you're talking about consuming fish, and I imagine that would include various kinds of fatty fish that are known to naturally contain omega-3s, would you say that supplementation is necessary in addition to that?
Yes, because not all fish, first of all, are rich in omega-3 fatty acids. And I recommend at least 1 gram of EPA-DHA combination. The good omega-3 fatty acids that are implicated in metabolism and overall wellness. I mean, omega-3 affect the mind, affect the function of the liver, the detox mechanism, and also have the ability to help metabolism as well. So in addition to these essential supplements, I have had to deal with issues of food cravings and stress-related eating, because my diet does include the foods that are soothing for the mind, and they work to some extent on the hypothalamus and help with neurotransmitter activities, including serotonin, dopamine, and GABA. These are neurotransmitters, chemicals in the brain that are implicated in food choices and responses to stress, and also food addiction, which becomes basically another problem for most overweight people. When you become overweight, you become food addict. So I had struggled for years to find a way to improve the mind component of the diet, because with the best diets out there, people tend to struggle with keeping up with the diet itself and not falling back into the bad habits of seeking carbs and fattening foods, and either related to stress or related to addiction or related to sleep impacts on the person. As I mentioned earlier, sleep is an important component for metabolism. People need to sleep 8 hours in the average, and quality sleep is essential for optimal metabolism. So I 6 or 7 years ago, I was really searching for a botanical ingredients that will help my patients stay on my diet program and overcome stress-related eating and food addiction, etc. In my detailed program, I have phase one, which is basically a de-addiction type of phase, 6 weeks. But sometimes it's not enough, and I started having experience with a product called Relora. It's a brand named botanical. It has active ingredients that help tremendously with relaxation, and also I have noticed in many of my patients back then that even the food addiction that they got trapped in, that was the main handicap succeeding with any diet, actually, was helping them tremendously. And so I tend to include Relora as another supplement in my program, and actually because I found it to be so helpful, I incorporated it in my supplement designed for weight loss.
Yeah, well, Laura, it's interesting in that it's not an actual plant, so I don't want people to go look for it. It's a combination, actually, of magnolia and philodendron. It's a patented combination and can be very, very helpful. You know, we have actually run out of time, Dr. Arem, so I want to thank you so much for being our guest today on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. I do want to remind people that we've been talking with Dr. Rita Arem, MD, and very, very knowledgeable endocrinologist about his new book, The Thyroid Solution Diet. And you can find us right here on Progressive Radio Network. This is The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. Or email us through our website, naturalnurse.com, or visit us on Facebook at Facebook, The Natural Nurse. Until next time, this is Ellen Kamai, The Natural Nurse, hoping that you stay healthy.